Thank you for that introduction. My name is Michelle. I've been with the Australian Christian Lobby for 4 years now, being the state director here in Western Australia. And this particular issue that I'm talking about this morning is something I started lobbying back in 2007 when the Labor government were putting forward a model to legalise brothels in Western Australia. So I understand this is a quite active church on the issues, and I'm very encouraged by that. And in November last year, the WA Attorney General, Christian Porter, he put forward a plan to legalise brothels in certain areas in Western Australia. Just as we were in that time of communion before, I just couldn't help but really reflect on the fact that the same blood that Christ spilt for us is the same blood that was spilt to cover the sin of the prostituted woman and the man who purchases, and also the politicians who pass laws such as these. So if you just keep that in mind while I'm sharing about this issue, the context of the grace and mercy of Christ, and also the Bible reading that was shared earlier about how God gives justice to those that are treated unfairly and mercy to those that don't deserve it, is also the context of this issue as well. So at the moment in our state, brothels operate on quite a laissez-faire type model. The police don't really do anything to investigate or criminalise any sort of operations. The only thing they do come down on and criminalise is street prostitution. So we have a fairly low level of that in our state compared to other states. But meanwhile, we have brothels popping up in suburbs and women working from their homes across Perth and across Western Australia. So the state government wants to regulate prostitution, they want to tolerate it, confine it to certain areas and then criminalise it everywhere else. And that may sound positive that they're trying to restrict it as much as possible. If we look at other states and how they've tried to go about regulating the sex trade, we've seen in Queensland they've only managed to regulate 10% of brothels, and 90% of brothels and prostitution remains illegal in Queensland, and that's after 12 years of attempted regulation. In Victoria, they've only managed to regulate 50%. And that's what happens when you try and regulate and tolerate prostitution. And why is this? Well, I think because the very nature of prostitution and brothels, it's immoral and it's unjust. And anything that is immoral and unjust will hide in the dark. It doesn't want to be legal. And it also grows in the dark as well, expands and expands. So why is prostitution immoral and why is it unjust? Well, firstly, prostitution is abusive and it is exploitative. There's research done, field research in 9 countries, which showed that 60 to 75% of women in prostitution have been raped, 70 to 95% have been physically assaulted, and 68% had post-traumatic stress disorder in the same range as treatment-seeking combat veterans. And women are subject to a terrible amount of abuse in prostitution. And hopefully we don't watch these kind of movies, but movies like Moulin Rouge and even Maverick, they glorify or make prostitution look like harmless fun. But the reality is that women suffer violence and suffer abuse in this kind of work. And they do it because of lack of alternatives, lack of choice to support their children. So most of them have been sexually abused as children, are operating out of their insecurities, and many are drug addicted and are working to keep their drug habit going. And unfortunately, you have a group of very vocal women that say that they like their work, they enjoy their work, but they neglect to acknowledge the fact that the majority of women are abused, are vulnerable and exploited in this industry. The second reason why prostitution is immoral and unjust is because it encourages an environment for human trafficking. Now, when the purchase of women becomes legal and it becomes okay for a man to purchase a woman for sexual exploitation, that means that the demand for prostitution increases. When it's legal, when men think it's okay, the amount of men purchasing will increase. And when that happens, the amount of women in prostitution needs to increase also to be able to meet that demand. And when there aren't enough Australian women to meet that demand, then they look to Asia to bring in women to service that demand. And human traffickers see Australia as a profitable market for sex slavery. And the United Nations have even declared that Australia is a destination country for human traffickers. So it's a real issue in our own backyard. So as we continue in our state to allow a culture of legalised prostitution, of accepting that it's okay and normal for men to purchase women, we'll have this increasing demand, which means we need increasing supply, which means we have the problem of human trafficking. The third thing is prostitution perverts the male and female relationship, and that's fairly obvious. But in 1999, Sweden actually passed a law that criminalises the purchase of sex, because they viewed it as, firstly, exploitation, and secondly, they saw it as a form of male dominance over women. Now, that sounds like a fairly feminist argument, but as you look into it, I actually agree with them, because the very act of a man hiring a woman's body for this purpose means that he has power over her in this area. See, if I hire something, it's mine to do with whatever I want to do with it for a certain amount of time. And that's what it's come to with a human body, is a man is purchasing a woman's body for his own pleasure. So it degrades her to just being an object for another person's pleasure. And if you look at the issue of the objectification of women in our society, it's all encapsulated in this issue of prostitution, is the woman is completely objectified. And as we look in the Bible, and it talks about how male and female relationships should be, and it says that wives should respect their husbands and husbands should honour their wives. And this issue of prostitution means a woman is completely dishonoured and a man lacks respect, completely lacks respect. And what other situation do we see an exchange of a human body for something that is unfair, unjust and immoral? Well, I think slavery. We can equate this to slavery. And 200 years ago, the church rose up against slavery. Look at the time of Wilberforce. And even though slavery was ingrained into the economy, it was just looked at as normal, even people who called themselves Christians had slaves, still the church rose up and thought, no, this is an injustice. We are all equal in God's sight. And they fought against it. And now we couldn't even think of a society in our modern day, in Western society, where slavery was acceptable. And since human trafficking is on par with drug trafficking as the world's leading criminal activity, the most profitable criminal industry in the world, I think we can equate this to slavery, our modern-day slavery. And I think it's time that the church rose up against this form of exploitation, against this injustice, and said that we don't tolerate prostitution. So like I said before, Sweden actually passed a law that criminalised the man who purchased the woman for sexual exploitation. And since then, they've seen a significant decline in the amount of men purchasing, and that means a significant decline in the amount of women prostituted and the amount of women trafficked as well. They still have operations, brothels within Sweden, but the survey's been proven that the number of men is not increasing that are purchasing, but it has declined. They're not just going to neighbouring countries, Finland and Denmark and that, but the number of men purchasing has significantly decreased, because in that country there's been a cultural shift and the men see it as immoral to purchase a woman for this activity. And as well as criminalising the purchaser in Sweden, they focused on helping women to get out of prostitution, on exit programs. So the government put a lot of funding into giving women real alternatives, other alternatives. But to get the message across that prostitution was an injustice, the government had to really focus on changing the culture. So they put education programs in schools, they educated the police, and they put adverts on television to educate the public. And today, 90%, 70 to 90% of the public support this law, and the younger generation is the most supportive of this law. So we want to see our government do something similar. We want to see this implemented in WA. And it's simple. The message is that we don't tolerate tolerated zones. We don't tolerate areas where the exploitation of women is legal and sanctioned by the state government. The state government said they want to remove 80% of this industry. Well, we just say, why not go the whole way? Why not go, let's try and eliminate 100% of this industry so we don't see women exploited in this way in our state. So what you can do, and I hope you're encouraged by the fact that you can actually do something about this, we've got a website called makeastand.org.au, and if you haven't got a card, please grab one on your way out today. All you have to do is type in your postcode and your local member pops up there, so you don't even have to know who they are. It's your local state member will pop up. You write a short email. We've given you dot points on what you can include in that email. You click send and it's done. Your job is done. It takes you 5 minutes. There's also a link to the Attorney General's office is calling calling for submissions at the moment. So if you have time to do two things, actually please make the time to do two things. Write a short letter. You can even cut and paste what you wrote in your letter into the submission to the Attorney General's office. It's that easy. And while you're at it, on that site as well, and I know your church focused on this issue, we're still calling on people to write letters about the homosexual marriage issue as well. Please do that. Parliament resumes, I think, next week, and we're trying to get as many letters in as possible. So just spend a few minutes on that website, go through what you can action, what you can sign petitions on, and your voice really, really does have effect, I promise you. Also, if you would like to become a supporter of ACL, all we need is your email or postal address. Please sign up at the back of the church at the end of the service so you can really be informed of what these issues are. You can inform your Christian friends and you can add your voice to really making a difference in our nation. Thank you very much.